Praise the Lord. This message was actually set up by what Brother Portman just spoke to us about. Come here with an agenda tonight of three areas to bolster, strengthen, and encourage us in this truth, because this is truth. People can tell us what they want to tell us, but I want you to know that you have truth. You are a privileged people. We are a privileged people because of our truth that God has allowed for us to have. So I want to bolster you in that. I want to encourage you in God. And I want to challenge you in God. Bolster, encourage, and challenge. I had to write the words of this song down as we were singing. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Come flood this place. The Lord spoke to us and said, believe in my love. Trust in my spirit. You know, the Bible tells us Solomon finished all the work of the house of the Lord. So he finished constructing the house of the Lord. But God was speaking to me tonight as I was praying here. And yes, he finished the work on the structure. But it didn't become outstanding until the presence of God moved in that place and the priests couldn't even stand to minister. That's when it became something special. And you see, we don't come here and just occupy a building, but we come into this place and then God comes in here and we feel his spirit in the presence of him, and then. And then this place becomes spectacular. Amen. God has finished, the Almighty God, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. But he still wants to make some lives spectacular by allowing for his spirit to take up residency in them. He finished the work, but he wants to move in and occupy some temples. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, children of God. And I don't just say this. You are my favorite people. I really count it a privilege and an honor to be able to come to this sacred desk and minister to you. I do not take it lightly. And I am just honored to even be considered to be able to minister unto you. I give honor to my pastor and his wife. You know, Brother Portman taught Sunday morning about how we take on the characteristics or traits of our parents, but you know, really our pastor as well. Our pastor has instilled some things in us over the years. You know, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fire, Daniel wasn't there. He was off in another city somewhere, but you know what? When the man of God was away, the children of God still did the right thing. And our pastor has instilled some things in us, and I'm thankful for that because it's going to take us all the way home one day. If you would turn to Matthew, the 24th chapter, we live in an exciting time. We see things happening every day around us. Matthew 24, and this is right after he teaches the parable of the fig tree, and we know this is referencing the nation of Israel becoming a nation again, and this generation would not pass before the coming of the Son of Man. What generation? Was it the middle generation? Was it the middle agers? Was it the infants? Was it the older and wiser? It was that generation would not pass before the coming of the Son of Man. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that it's appointed unto all men 70 years. That's 70. That's not guaranteed, but 70 years from 1948 until where we are now, 2015. Well, no man knoweth the day or the hour, but God gave us in his word things to look for, things to focus on, things to be ready for. Remember that concept. So he goes on to say, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Not everybody's going, folks. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The Lord has been telling us over and over to be ready. He comes quickly. He comes quickly. He comes quickly. He's not confined to our box of time. But he comes quickly. Genesis, the 6th chapter, please. Verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. But because of that, a command, an order would come forth from God to Noah, and he would have to put something together to make a way. Because even back then, when all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth, he had a people. Amen. Lord, I pray that in these next moments, oh God, you would open our hearts and our minds. Lord, that you would challenge us, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, oh God. For your word, Lord, truly is a sure foundation to stand on. And I pray tonight, oh God, that you would stir up inside us that gift that you have placed there. And Lord, that we too could be the people that would shine your light at this time that we live, oh God. Lord, I ask it all in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's interesting that people will explain the story of Noah and the ark away like it was all just one of those stories. But yet Jesus referenced it in the New Testament, and he gave heed and warning to his people and said, just as it was in the days of Noah. Listen, look back there. That's not just a story or a fallacy or some little dreamt up hype about this cute little story about how God shuffled some people away, but it had meaning. It was something important that we should focus on in the year 2015. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man. And then they say they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And you can get lost in that, and you can focus on the way things are going in this world today, fast-paced, go, 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 go. But just as it was in the days of Noah, I believe the Lord was saying, look back and see what was going on in those days. Yes, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that they went into the ark. But there was something about the world. There was something about the people. There was something about the culture that God wanted us to focus in on and tell us, you better be ready, but you better be like him. The man that I selected to do a work for me. So if you would go back to that sixth chapter, verse 5, it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Have we seen wickedness and evil doings in this world day after day after day in the headlines, just as it was in the days of Noah? Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That word repented means to sigh or breathe deeply. So God looked at mankind and went, isn't it amazing when somebody does something, one of your kids, and you go, they get the message. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them. Look at this, verse 8. This is a beautiful verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Grace ushers in faith. But now watch, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. That word grace there in the eighth verse of that sixth chapter means graciousness or subjective kindness or favor or pleasant or precious or well-favored. The grace of God was ushered into the life of Noah. But that didn't save him. The grace of God was upon his life, but God still had a work for him to do, and he still had to build the ark. And people in this world today will hang on to that, I'm saved by the grace of God. It's the grace of God that saves. I believe that. The grace of God is ushered into our lives, but just like Noah still had to build something and put something together and be industrious, if you will, so too does the child of God. The favor of God flows into our life, but God has a work for us. That word grace in Ephesians 2 and 8 is graciousness, just like 6 and 8 of Genesis. Graciousness, a manner or act of, figuratively or spiritually, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So God's grace is ushered into our lives, and because of his grace, there's a reflection that shows in our lives. Now watch. God moved on Noah's heart. And the ark was the reflection of being obedient to what God commanded. The grace of God first, but he still had to build and to create his own way out. Or God gave him the blueprints. He built it accordingly. If I had to put a title on this message, I'd call it the blueprints of God. Because God gave us very specific orders in his word. God gave Noah very specific orders. But look at verse 11 through 13. Back to just as it was in the days of Noah. In those three verses of scripture, we see the word violence twice. Verse 9, and I'll read that while you're looking down. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Three verses of scripture. He uses the word violence twice in three verses. How about this world we live in today? Violence, violence, violence. Just as it was in the days of Noah. This word violence by implication means wrong or unjust gain, cruelty, damage, falseness, injustice, oppressor, unrighteous, violence against or done to, violent dealings or wrong dealings, unjust gain. How about diluting the truth of God? Unjust gain. Look at it in a spiritual sense. Just accept them. Just accept them and you're saved. But there was a way out. In verse 14, God said to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without. That word pitch means to cover, specifically with bitumen. Figuratively, it means to expiate or condone, to placate or cancel, to appease, to make an atonement, a cleanse, a cover, a purge, a pardon, to cover with pitch, to reconcile, or to be covered. Sounds like the same thing that the blood of Jesus did for you and I on Calvary. And that ark had to be pitched on the inside and on the outside. That bitumen pitch was an orange, reddish, black in color. The blood that Jesus shed at the cross, if I were to poke my finger and drip that drop of blood on a piece of paper, it would be red first. But after a while, it would turn a reddish black in color. That same blood that's applied to us in the waters of baptism seals us, preserves us, covers our sins, but also the Spirit inside us pitches or seals us within. And just like the ark, we find ourselves pitched on the inside and on the outside. But it was pitched on the inside first. And God started dealing with your heart and my heart first. And then the other things took place. And just like the ark was a reflection of Noah's obedience to God, so too is our life, as it starts to change and turn around, is a reflection of our obedience to the Word of God. And God has done that to us so that we have something to show to this world who really wants out of the messes that they're a part of. You don't know how many times before God delivered me and changed my life that I would sit somewhere by myself and weep and say, God, please help me. God, please help me. And he saw something in my heart then, and he knew that I was serious. I wanted out, but I couldn't help myself. And there's so many that we rub shoulders with every day in the grocery store or at the workplace, everywhere we go, that want the same deliverance that God ushered into your and my life through his grace. That grace was ushered into our lives. Moses, I would have you know as well, also was preserved because of an ark. If you look up that word ark, it's the same. It will refer to Noah's, the vessel that Noah built, and it will also refer to the basket that Moses was set in the water. And you know, really think about it. His mother obeyed the order of the king, and she put that child in the river. Technically. Probably not the way that he wanted the child in there, but she was obedient and put him in. But it was an ark that preserved him. Now, that's really the name Moses. And if you read the scripture, she called him Moses, the daughter of Pharaoh, because they drew him out of the water. That Hebrew word means to draw out. But the Egyptian word, and that's kind of a play on words, listen, God knows what this whole thing's about, means son or child. So in the Egypt word, it's son or child. In the Hebrew, it's drawn out. And I'm wondering if we could see tonight that that child that was preserved in that ark was the same son or the same child that would grow up and God would use to draw his people out of Egypt. Listen, this thing is not a coincidence. It's a whole lot deeper than just some stories that are good reading. God has had a plan and a purpose, and he's got blueprints for this plan, and he's let you and I in on that plan. There was a way out. Make thee an ark. That word make means be industrious, work or prepare or follow or fulfill or labor or perform or serve or yield. Yield to the unction of God. How many times does he ask us to take this word, to talk to those that we're around? Do you know what God told us tonight in the Spirit? Listen, don't worry about your ability or my ability. He told us in the Spirit, trust my Spirit. Moses didn't think he could handle the job either. And God said, let me show you. I have it under control. So God will take care of the things we can't. Do you believe in my love? Listen, it's the love of God. The Bible says that you'll know them by their love one for another. People know we're different. It's the love of God. And the Spirit of God, which dwells inside of us, is going to take care of the things that we feel we're inadequate to take care of. And that's a good thing when you feel that way, because God used Moses to do some powerful things. Two arks, two men, obedient to the things of God. God used them mightily in a plan to deliver people. So I'm wondering, could it be that perhaps he has the same idea for you and me in this day that really and truly is just as it was in the days of Noah? Violence, corruption. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, I read in the book of Matthew, but my word shall not pass away. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you know that John 1 and 6 says this? There was a man sent from God. There was a man sent from God. His name, or whose name, was John. John means, in the Greek, Jehovah is a gracious giver. So there was a man sent from God. His name was John. And watch this. Through John, Jehovah is a gracious giver. The grace of God flowed through John into the lives of others. Titus 2 and 11 says, the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men. All right? So somehow the grace of God is going to be ushered into their lives. The grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men. But then it goes on to say, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We are to live soberly. There's a way that we are to live. There's something that the Word of God teaches us. There's a blueprint that is attached to it that comes forth. The grace of God is awesome, saints of God. It's ushered into our lives and it begins a process in us that allows for us to become something that's pleasing to God. Can you imagine? It blows me away, God, that you could even consider that I would be worthy to be used in some way to share your powerful word, your transforming word with somebody else, and it would make a difference in their lives. So John means Jehovah is a gracious giver. So the grace of God flows into the lives through John. Now, Moses, not only did he draw the people out of Egypt and take them through the sea, which is a type and a shadow of baptism, but God also gave him the plans for the tabernacle, the blueprints for the priesthood's approach to God. My. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So God gave Noah the plan of the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was a place where the glory of God would rest by a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud during the day. We just saw this in my family room last night as I taught the last part of the tabernacle plan, lesson 4, at a home Bible study that I'm teaching. By the way, you are invited to my home on Tuesday nights, provided you bring somebody that needs to have the Spirit of the Almighty God ushered into their life. 7 o'clock. Doesn't matter to me what lesson they start on, because eventually they're going to get it all. But they'll learn more in one lesson than they'll learn in 1 year sitting somewhere else. And I don't say that boasting. I say that, wow, the Word of God just opens the eyes of people. So God gave Moses the plan of the tabernacle. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word. Remember that? Verse 14 says this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Watch this, full of grace and truth. This is coming through John, who the Bible says, according to what his name means, biblical names meant something. Jehovah is a gracious giver. So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Here's what I want you to see tonight. That word dwelt, I looked it up, and that word dwelt means tabernacle. I couldn't believe it. I thought I got the wrong word. So I went back and looked again, and nope, sure enough, it means tabernacle. So insert that in that scripture and recite that verse. And the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. So the glory of God that rested on the tabernacle in the wilderness that Moses put together according to the plans of God, now in this day and time, the royal priesthood would have their approach to God, and the same glory that rested upon the tabernacle would now be inside the people of God, and we are the tabernacle that ushers in the grace and the glory of God into the lives of the people in this world that so desperately need to be changed, so desperately need to be pulled out of the violence and the corruption that this world, and that's really all it has to offer. The Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. You see, we become the flesh now that the presence of God lives inside, and every time we step into the lives of somebody, the grace of God and the Spirit or the glory of God, however big it is in us, is ushered into the lives of somebody else. Wow. Sounds like a plan that the blueprints were put together way, way from the beginning. But God would choose you and I. God would choose mankind to be the ones to usher it in. Listen, the people didn't always like what Moses told them, but it didn't change the fact that he heard from God and he was telling them truth. Anybody ever have their toes stepped on in this place? I got me a pair of steel-tipped dress shoes. You see, the Spirit of God, the love of God, is really what people, when they come in this place, there's something different about this place when they come here, and it affects them. And then the Word of God, which goes forth from the anointed man of God, and we have heard some great men of God that have broken the bread of life in this place, and we've seen things that, oh my Lord. And it's changed us when we've applied it to our lives. As a matter of fact, that's why we're here tonight, because the Word of God was given to us, we applied it to our lives, and it changed us, because I would be bold enough to say, had that not happened in our lives, we probably wouldn't be here tonight. Just saying. So if it worked for us and it was effective to us, why wouldn't it be effective in the lives of others? But here's what I want you to know. From the very beginning, you stand on this, because this is truth. And the same Spirit that moved on men in the Old Testament is the same Spirit that's moving on men in the year 2015. And God has allowed for us to be a part of that truth, and you can stand firm on it. And because of that Spirit, and because of the obedience to the truth of God and the Word of God, we have something greater in store for us than just the little trinkets that this world has to offer. So, we have all those things. We're standing on truth. You can see the type and the shadow over and over and over of going through the water, the waters of baptism, man's approach to God, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, the holy place, communing with God, and then the holiest of holies when you, and we have been allowed to partake of that in our lives. So this is truth. Be encouraged. This is truth. Be encouraged. And the Spirit of God truly is with us. Be encouraged. You are chosen by God. Be encouraged. But this life is still a challenge. Amen? I knew my day would be a challenge today. I knew it would be. And from the time I walked into the doors of the place that I'm employed at till the time I walked out, it was a challenge. But I told my wife, I called her from the car, I said, honey, I can walk to the pulpit tonight not feeling condemnation, because I got the victory.
only because of the Spirit of God and the favor of God and the grace of God.
But so let me ask you something. Do you think in the amount of time that it took Noah to build the ark, do you think he ever had any bad days? I mean, do you think, listen, here's what I was thinking about. I wonder if the guy made a mistake and maybe didn't get the trusses right on one section and then he had to change it and make, because God gave him specific instructions. Listen, he was just a man. We're just men. Yes, he had the grace of God and the favor of God. Do you have the grace and favor of God in your life? Did you ever hit your thumb with a hammer? Huh? And you're still saved? But so there's things that happen in our lives. There's challenges. There's things that come into our lives that cause us to doubt. So for 100 years or 120 years, scholars seem to differ on that whole deal with the ark, but however long it was, and I'm not a scholar. God knows I'm not a scholar. But I believe that Noah had some bad days. I believe that Noah had some trials. I believe that Noah had some life situations that caused him to wonder about this favor of God. And I believe Moses, and we can read in the Word of God, Moses was downright irritated sometimes with the people of God. Now, I know we don't get irritated with each other. Thank God things have changed in the year 2015, right? Amen. But there's still challenges in our lives, but rest assured that God is still there. He has not moved anywhere. He still dwells within us. So the challenges will come. Let me encourage you that God is still there. So a couple of weeks ago, I had to make an investment because I needed a vehicle. And it was so nice not to have a... Can I just be transparent? Can I? Okay, thank you. So I needed a vehicle. Can I tell you how nice it has been not to have a car payment for 6 or 7 years? No car payment. Oh, that was awesome. But there was a need. So me and my wife sat down. We looked at the budget. We moved some things around. And then we purchased a truck. And it fit our budget because we still wanted to be able to use it and go camping and do that and have things but still be able to use them. So we worked out a budget. 2 weeks later, things happened. At the workplace, company sold, wondering about some things, do I have a job, how long is this going to last, and the health insurance is going up almost $300 a month, and then my wife, some things in her life with her job happened, clients, lost a couple clients to the tune of about 40 hours a month, all of a sudden, there's hundreds and hundreds of dollars that weren't planned into that budget. And I'm going to tell you, I worried. This is still really fresh. But I and my wife this year, years ago, we were a part of a marriage enrichment class here that the Poplowskis taught, and it was awesome. And my wife got a Bible in there, a couple's devotional. So we decided this year we're going to go through that thing, and we try every day to get in there. But I'll tell you, we don't always make it in there every day, so some days we have to catch up and do 2 days. But so last Friday, my son and his wife were down, and I was impressed, you know what, read the devotional, let them see what it's like, and here I have all these things I'm worried about, the job, the health insurance, the car payment, the fill in the blank. But so I open up the Bible, and the lesson for that Friday was Job's significant lesson. And I saw that, and I thought, interesting. So we started to read it, and I'm like, oh my. He was going through it. And then there's two questions. They're called marriage builders. And the first one was, what have you and your wife gone through in the years that has been painful for you? And I'm thinking to myself, what are the chances?
What are the chances that this would be the lesson? And then the second question to the marriage builders was, what has God done through these times that has caused you to regain your confidence in him and your love in him and one another even more? And so here's what I started thinking. And I'm talking to somebody right now and encouraging you because you have some situations in your lives. And then God reminded me of how one night I went into the prison and I was teaching them to have faith, teaching on faith. And me and my wife didn't have the money to pay our mortgage payment. And I'm going in to teach on faith. And I'm wondering, dear God, what are we going to do? But see, this challenge that came into my life a couple weeks ago, and someone may be right in the middle of one right now. So the beginning of this year, God impressed upon me, the men in the prison, that we need to start over from lesson one and go through lesson 12 and teach search for truth in there and lay a foundation again. And then I decided to teach a Tuesday night Bible study. The adversary's irritated. And then I'm realizing, could it be? Well, Noah was building something for God, and things came into his life. But so these things creep in because the adversary hates it when we build things for the kingdom of God. But it doesn't stop me. I'm not quitting. Don't quit. God is with us. Keep building for the kingdom. Keep working. Keep building. Keep doing what he told you to do. So I went and I taught on faith. And I came back, and then I came back in. I came back to church after that Wednesday night and wanted to talk with my pastor. And this man came up to me and said, I need to talk to you. God spoke to me last night about you in a dream, and I'm supposed to give you this. And he gave me an envelope right here in this place. And I went to the altar and prayed, and this guy was weeping. And I didn't look in the envelope. And then I went and filled my car with gas. I had $27. And listen, you got to know where I come from. Because you can maybe look at me and think, oh, that guy's strong. He's got it all together. But there's challenges in every one of our lives. But don't quit. You just keep pressing on in God. Because he's faithful. So I put $20 worth of gas in the car and saved $7 in case we might need something. And as I'm pumping the gas, I opened up that envelope and there was 10 $100 bills in that envelope. And nobody knew about my problem except me and my wife. Oh, but that's not the truth. Because God knew. God knew what I needed. And I didn't turn into a wreck and not go into that place and teach on faith. So I went home and my wife said, what are we going to do about the mortgage? And I said, honey, do you have faith? And then I remembered another time when my truck broke down and I had money in the bank to put a roof on my house and I had to fix the car with that almost $2,000. There goes my roof. But then there came a rushing, mighty wind and blew the shingles off of my house. And the insurance company not only put a new roof on my house, but on the garage, and I had $300 left over. And then there's the time that the Lord healed my wife of cancer. And then there's the time, and then there's the time, and then there's the time. So what's a couple hundred bucks to God? Listen, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but you keep pushing on in God. You stand firm and confident knowing that he knows right where you are and he'll provide what you need. Trust in God. Trust in his love. Believe in his spirit. He has it under control. The book of Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. They were rebuilding the walls. But there was resistance. They were trying to put things back together for the kingdom of God, but there was resistance. Verse 4, or chapter 4 and verse 1 of Nehemiah says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?'" How many times does the adversary of your soul and my soul scream at us about things and say, "You're wasting your time. It's not worth your effort. It's not going to work anyway. You're washed up." Learn the lesson. What's a couple hundred bucks to God? The first thing that the adversary is going to say is, "Well, you could just cut back on your tithes a little bit. God will understand." Lesson 101 in God. Don't listen to that. Invest in the kingdom of God. If you're a new convert, don't listen to that. If you're a seasoned saint, don't listen to that. Stay faithful to the things of God. So Nehemiah, they continued to build the wall, but resistance continued to come. The world wants to tear down the church and its foundation, but this is nothing new. Verses 8 and 9. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Look at verse 9. Nevertheless. Say that. Nevertheless. 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 We continue to pray. That word pray there means intercessory. We continued in the things of God that were faithful. Nevertheless. 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 We made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Verse 11, and our adversary said, "They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." But the word of the Lord tells me, and it tells you, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Hide the word of God in your heart. Just like Jesus used the word, "For it is written, for it is written, for it is written. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall not pass away." You apply it to your life. Trust in him. Trust in his love. Trust in his spirit. Be faithful to the things of God. Be faithful to the things that he has called you and I to be faithful to. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that they were continuing to work on the wall, and while some worked, some watched. But it actually says while they worked, they had their sword at their side, or with one hand they worked, and with the other hand they had the sword. You listen to me tonight. Don't you fall victim and pray to that discouraging voice that wants to tell you to quit. It's not worth it. It's not true. Listen, your sword in one hand and continue to work for God with the other. And you just continue on, and God will prove himself faithful on your behalf. Why? Because we've built it according to the blueprints of God. I'm thankful for the man of God that he's placed in our lives that wants to see week after week, day after day, service after service, that we're still building it and it's still functioning the way the blueprint said that it should function and it should be built. Don't remove the old landmarks. You just keep putting another stone on that memorial of old. And when your kids ask you why you do that, you can tell them why. You can share the stories of the healings and the provisions and the miracles of God that you've seen in your life, in your life, in your life, over and over. Can I tell you that not everybody sees this stuff, folks? But we would like for them to see it. They so desperately need it because it really is just as it was in the days of Noah. Verse 22 of that sixth chapter of Genesis, here's the beauty of it. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Thus did Noah. That means, that word did means accomplished, produced. He pressed. Thus accomplished Noah. Thus pressed Noah. Thus completed Noah. He just kept pressing and going on and did it the way God commanded. And because of that, the grace of God flowed. Do you know what Noah means? Noah means rest. And even in the middle of the storm, even in all the chaos and the doubt and the things that can come into our lives, and we heard it tonight, there can still be peace in God, rest in our lives because of doing it the way God said. Last scripture, Romans, the fifth chapter. This is my wife's part of the message. She helped. The Lord gave her this scripture and she read it to me and I'm like, oh my Lord. But should I be surprised? We're one flesh. Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith, look at this, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience in hope, and hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because look at this. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love and the Spirit. What did God speak to us tonight? Believe in my love. Trust in my Spirit. Which is given unto us. God has richly and deeply blessed each and every one of us. And sometimes we just need to take out a sheet of paper and write some things down when we're in the middle of a trial or a tribulation, if the musicians would come, and remember that God truly is for us. He truly has our lives in his hand. So, don't be discouraged through the trials. Don't be discouraged when something comes into your life. That, well, there's just not room for it. I just didn't plan on this. Because the grace of God that was ushered into Noah's life, that same grace that the Bible talks about over and over was ushered into our lives. The grace of God. And it taught us, and we obeyed the word of God. And now, we can stand before anything that this world wants to challenge us with, knowing full well knowing full well that God has chosen and selected you and I to be exactly right where we are this very night to do a work for Him. You would stand with me. So I challenge you tonight. I know that there's someone out there that God has been dealing with your heart about to talk to them about Him. Right now, while I had the honor of breaking the bread of life with you, my brother Kevin Moran was in the prison tonight teaching the plan of salvation on the other side of the walls. And I know that that was the will of God for that place. And if God would want us to go into that place and share the plan of salvation, what do you feel He wants you and I to do out on this side? Because really, there's just as much bondage on this side of the prison wall as there is on the other side. So I challenge you. Believe in the love that He has for you. Believe in the love that He has for you, that love that drew you to a place where you could physically feel the manifestation of His Spirit, feel His touch, and trust in His Spirit. He'll give you the words to say. He'll give you what it takes. You are more capable than you think you are. Who made your mouth, Moses? And then he would go on and say, "Fear not, be of good courage." And then he stood and told the nation that God used him delivered through the waters, "Stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord." I challenge you tonight. Listen to the unction of God and go to that one that God has been prompting you to go to and get them to sit still long enough that you can show them the salvation of God. Keep working. Keep pressing forward. Keep going. Because He is the one who gives us our strength and our being, everything we are. Amen. Brother Portman.
Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Brother Bear. Amen. You know, I always think about, there's only so much that I can see of what's going on, but God can see it all. And He can see it all coming and going in all different directions, and there's nothing that He misses. And so wherever I'm at is exactly where I'm supposed to be, because He sees it all. So thank you again, Brother Bear. Let's open up this altar so we can spend a little bit of time with him and take an opportunity once again to connect with our God. Thank you, Jesus.